Good morning, 8:09 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. The 200th anniversary of Escambia County's founding, which includes everybody, because at the time there was no Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, Walton, anything like that, so it's everybody's founding, has come and gone, but there are still articles that are going to be published in the PNJ, and so we're going to continue to have these neat historians on the show. Joining me now, I have Adrian Walker. Adrian, who I actually got to know, she was the chair for our History Day for Leadership Santa Rosa last week, so I actually got to tour this exact topic last week, the Arcadia Mill and the Baghdad Mill site. She is the site manager for the Arcadia Mill and staff archaeologist and interim archivist with the UWF Historic Trust. Adrian, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Great to have Dr. Walker, maybe I should say, but no, I'm not going to do that.
I didn't take it that far.
Well, then, you know, good thing I didn't presumptuously assign it to you. So the Arcadia Mill site. First thing we should tell people is there isn't actually anything there anymore. It's a land area. It's not like a building you can go see, but it was a really important building in the history of this area, and especially of Santa Rosa County and of the Milton area, right?
Correct. So industry in Northwest Florida was such an important part of the development of this area, and Arcadia Mill is the only example of one of these industrial sites that you can actually go visit and learn more about. But there were water-powered mills and later steam mills all over this area as the colonists and then later, you know, other European settlers were cutting down timber and processing all kinds of products for export.
So water in this area is vital as transportation, something which modern people don't always think so much about because we have cars and trucks and rail. Before they had that, they had waterways, and waterways would be how you'd ship things like lumber as an export, but that took the ability to not just chop it down, but then to process it at least a little bit, right?
Correct. So Arcadia Mill was entirely water-powered. So when you visit the site today, you'll see Pond Creek, which was the only water source there. So it is incredible to realize what these early entrepreneurs were able to do with controlling the flow of water. So aside from actually powering the mills, like you said, the shipping channels via ships and then, you know, obviously later rail, but waterways were the only way for a long time to get around and move products.
And so the Arcadia Mill site, which if people don't know, if you think of where Pensacola State College is, like Avalon hits Highway 90 right there in Milton, just north and west of there a little ways is where the site was. And it's on this waterway, but even to make it work, this is before steam power, so they had to generate power somehow, and they did that by a complicated dam and water flow and wheel system, right?
Right. So it took a lot of ingenuity and engineering, and I am not an engineering expert, but over the years I've learned enough to kind of understand how it operated. But they literally took what is a creek. It's a tributary of the Blackwater River, so it's not very wide or anything like that. It's not very deep either. But they took this waterway and then channeled water in different directions to different locations, used a series of wooden gates to control when the water was flowing in order to power these large water wheels that would then power all the machinery.
Yeah, see, that was the part that blew my mind is when you were showing us the site. You see where the water level is today, back to normal, so to speak, and they would have built this dam system that raised the water 10, 12, 14 feet higher to put water in a controlled way over the water wheel to power the sawmills so that they could plane the, or not plane, but they could, you know, basically get the lumber down to a usable way. And then again, transport it down to the actual, like the Blackwater, where they could, you know, ship it anywhere. But later, when steam came along, that's what allowed, like, the Baghdad mill site to be developed, right?
Yes. So the same people that built Arcadia also built Baghdad. Around 1840, steam power became more available. So the owners ordered a steam engine. We actually have the newspaper article about them doing that because everything back then was front page news.
Right.
But they ordered a steam engine and then actually moved most of the facilities to Baghdad, which is situated right on the Blackwater River. So you could process something in the mill and then immediately load it onto a ship. Whereas with Arcadia, you had to travel 3 miles to get it to a ship. there was a later iteration at Arcadia of a textile mill that operated after that, but that was pretty much the last of the industry at Arcadia.
And by the way, to me, that's one of the more fascinating side stories here, the way you were telling it is, this was enslaved people who were not just built the home site, but worked the mill, operated all that stuff, primarily male slaves. But then when the textile mill came in, you needed what? Finer motor skills. And what did that cause?
So they brought in a female population because they thought that their smaller hands could operate the delicate machinery better in a textile mill, which was far more delicate than just cutting logs or quartering logs. So they brought in a female group, and then we can follow this population in the census and see that there starts to be babies and adolescents, and you start to see family units, and then you also start to see the elderly population who was there at the very beginning. And that's a big focus of our research at Arcadia, is exploring these enslaved people, because they're such a large part of the American story that often isn't told.
Right.
So we've done a lot of research on these people, trying to figure out what daily life was like and when they arrived, when they left, and things like that.
Yeah, and you know, the way you guys have laid out some of the instruction materials like at the Arcadia home site, the sort of mansion there, to show here's where all of the enslaved Black people would have been working as you're walking through the home. I mean, it's interesting. It's instructive to kind of be able to picture that in the past. Well, the article is fascinating, as they all have been. We'll continue interviewing the authors as we go through. I think we got another couple of weeks worth of these. But Adrienne Walker is the author of this week's article in the PNJ. She is the site manager at the Arcadia Mill site in Milton, and a staff archaeologist and interim archivist with the UWF Historic Trust. Adrienne, thanks for bringing history to us and bringing the past a little bit alive so that we can remember where we came from. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Andrew.